All right, we have good news, and then we have bad news. The good news is we're doing a brand new place-by-place report just for you right here. It is June the 8th, 2024. It's 11:24 a.m., and we are going to record this so that you can figure out where to go fishing. The bad news is for you to get to the part that you want to listen to, you probably have to deal with about 40 minutes of us and our absurdities.
Probably.
So,
but they can always hit fast forward.
You can. You can fast forward this. You can download it. You can cut out the parts that you don't want. Or you can just go read the highlights online. It doesn't have quite as much information, but there's quite a bit there.
Yeah.
So if you're tired of us and all of our constant yapping and talking about things that aren't necessarily fishing, then by all means, knock yourself out.
There you go.
On the other hand, if you're still with us, I'm Captain Josh, this is Robert Lukowitz, and this is the Place-by-Place Fishing Report.
Perfect.
Robert?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to kick it off with the Peace River and Harbor Heights upriver along with Shell Creek and associated areas such as that?
It's the same as last week.
But last week we had no reports, Robert.
Yep, we got no reports again today.
Why do we have to start this thing on a downer all the time?
Because it happens to be the first thing at the top of the line.
You need to turn this thing around so it starts someplace else.
You could always start backwards and work your way forwards.
I could do that. That would mean using doing the Tarpon reports first.
Well,
at least that would be... That might be better, actually, if we did the Tarpon report first.
Uh-huh.
Well, we can't this week because we already started with this. Yeah. So we're just going to have to continue on the path we're on. But maybe next time. Maybe we'll consider.
Yeah, but by next week, it might be more rains and change things upriver, make it more positive. Yes.
How about the Darst Park boat ramp and I-75 bridges area?
A couple of small snook. Two black drum.
He caught. There's more than two, right?
Well, that's what he caught. And then his buddy the day after that caught a couple of trout and jumped a juvenile tarpon.
Okay.
Right there at the 75 bridge.
The trout, too?
Yep. Which surprised me, but he actually had pictures of them to show me. One was, I think, 15 and a half, and the other one was like 13 inches, but he still caught a couple of them.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, and they did catch a little tiny baby jewfish.
Itty-bitty Goliath.
Probably 12 inches, maybe.
Ooh.
Itsy-bitsy.
Oh.
A freshie.
So cute. I really hope I don't catch one that size at any point.
No?
Yeah.
Because you'd want to start up a saltwater tank and go,
way too tempted. Way too tempted.
Yeah.
Ugh. So illegal.
Yep. But they are cool looking at that size, too.
They are. And they're so full of, well, they're not people, so they don't really have personality, but they have fishinality, and lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Best to avoid that temptation. The US 41 bridge is Live Oak Point Park.
A lot of mangrove snapper.
Size
Some
on them?
Some decent size ones, like 13, 14 inches.
Cool.
From what I'm hearing, I mean, I think from all over the place I'm hearing of them like that. So they're all getting ready to head out towards the passes to go do their spawn in July and August the way they normally do. So I think that's why we're hearing about them.
Boy, that would have been way bigger. I only typed 145 inches.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good fish.
Wow.
That's a 12-footer? 12-foot 1-inch mangrove snapper?
Yeah.
That might be a new record.
Uh-huh. That it would be. Wow.
Sorry, I fixed it. Okay. No one will be confused.
Uh-huh. A lot of little snook. A handful of small trout. And a couple of bull sharks, babies. And some undersized cobia. Been a mixed mash from people this week. A lot of kids got out of school a week ago, so having some parents and some kids going out fishing just... spending some time, so I think that's why I got a few more than normal reports for there.
There we go. Hey, we'll take it. The Lashley Seawall.
I got nothing for over there. No report at all.
Boo. The Bayshore Pier.
Two baby bull sharks. Two undersized cobia. And he did see a couple of tarpon roll around out there. Didn't hook any of them, but he saw them.
Okay. Did he happen to say what size he saw?
One was a little one, and one he said looked like a pretty adult-sized one.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Port Charlotte Beach Pier.
Menin Grove snapper, some undersized trout. All those are being caught away from the pier. All the mangrove snapper, like those kids last weekend, they came back in and they caught more of them. They're catching them like 30 feet off the end of the pier.
Okay.
And they had mangroves like up to 15 inches.
Now see, this is why you want to listen to the report. Because I might not type all those things down.
No.
So, you know.
Oh, I get it.
Did you say trouts?
Trout too.
Trouts?
The trout are mostly small. A couple of legal sized fish, but mostly small. And then there was a couple of very short snook caught there. But the trout and the snapper were the main ones.
Interesting how we went from lots of snook there underneath the 41 bridge to just a couple out here.
Right.
It ain't that far.
Nope, it's not.
Hmm. Any shacks?
Nope, didn't hear of any sharks over
there.
No
shacks?
Nope.
Really? There's got to be some little bull sharks around.
I'm sure there is.
No question.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there. The Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals.
There's a couple bull sharks in those.
Yeah?
Well, I sent you that picture of the neighbors.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That was a good one. It was.
Yeah, that
was.
It was
4.5 foot.
Bigger than I would have expected.
Okay. We walked over there and went, whoa. Helped climb down on the rocks and picked them up and got them up on the wall so they could get a picture of them. And I had another person catch one over in Spring Lake. And another customer saw one swim by their dock. And they just said they're over in Port Charlotte. They didn't tell me exactly where.
But it's probably all within a mile or two of the mouths.
Yeah. And then, let's see, we got a few small snook, lots of mangrove snapper. And I actually had two different people with sand bream this week. One was a big sand bream, like 13 inches probably.
Okay.
And that is it.
We'll take
no
it.
No drum, no nothing else.
No jacks?
Mm-mm.
No needlefish?
Yeah, needlefish.
No puffers?
Yeah, no.
No sheep's head?
Nope.
No coelacanths?
Nope.
The Elgibean Pier, Robert.
Or fish. there is no Elgibean Pier anymore.
Yeah. It kind of cooked.
Kind of has a charcoal effect to it right now.
Yeah, for those of you who are just hearing about this, yeah, it kind of burned. And it won't be open for a long time, we don't expect.
Yeah.
Because a pretty good piece of it burned, they said about 100 feet.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
But the wind was cranking pretty good that way, that's what accelerated it.
Yep. So.
Plus that creosote burns for a while.
If you're going to fish the Elgibean Pier, you're going to fish it from a boat.
Yep.
The
or
Mayaca,
underneath the bridge, but it's a walk.
It is a walk. There's no good place to park anymore. Mm-hmm. And the places where it looks like it'd be good to park, like between the bridges, mm-hmm. there's no parking signs. Although I do see people park there every now and then.
Right. So do I. But I have seen FHP there once.
I have seen someone parked there with a CCSO deputy there.
Really?
Who didn't really seem to care too much.
Right.
So, I guess it kind of depends on who you hit and your luck for that day, whether that law is going to be enforced or not. But maybe he was just waiting for the guy to come back up, too.
Could have been. Know.
There's a definite roll the dice factor in that if you want to do it.
Yeah. Especially since your vehicle's literally parked in front of the sign that says no parking.
Right, because that's the only place to park.
I didn't see it. That doesn't work too well.
You're going to have to go with no hablo ingles instead, in which case your Spanish better be convincing.
Yes.
So, the Mayaca River area from the bridge down to Marker 8.
Been a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of baby bull sharks. The guy said he saw a bunch of juvenile tarpon rolling around the bridge right at sunrise, but could not get a single one of them to bite.
Okay.
And then another gentleman caught a couple of small snook and, I forget, was it one or two trout right there at the mouth of the Myakka Cutoff. Okay. He wasn't even up inside. He was right out front, closer to Hog Island. Because he wasn't exactly sure where he was at until he started showing me, this is what it looked like on my chart. I'm like, okay.
I don't know where I am.
He's still new.
Yeah, that's okay to not know where you are.
A couple months and learning on his boat, he's good.
Yeah. There's no problem with that. The South Gulf Cove Canals.
Nothing.
Okay.
No reports.
You know,
somebody was telling me they're still having issues with their lock in there.
Oh, yeah. It's been all messed up. It's been non-functional. And then they said they were going to open it up because they wanted to get more water in there. So they were opening it up during high tides. And then it was completely non-functional. And then it was functioning again. I really can't keep up with all the issues they're having with that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a message. It was about South Gulf Cove. Of course, now I got to find it.
There's a fishing report.
That's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, they only get one or two texts a day.
I know. It's 100 or 150. Do-do-do-do-do. That's not it. Question is, how did they send it to me? Did they email it to me, or did they text it to me, or did they
send smoke signals?
Do a song and dance real quick while I'm trying to figure this out, because
that's about all I got for you.
That was pretty good, actually.
Gotta have fun.
You sure you don't know any more?
No, not really. I even forgot the manomana. I forgot that part. You filled it in just perfect, though. Jeez. Well, I know it's a new moon tonight, and there's going to be a lot of people fishing offshore, inshore.
It doesn't matter. I can't find it.
Yeah. But no, it's good fishing overall. It's just some wonky reports.
Okay. So no reports, but if you have reports, please call Robert at the shop. And the number for that?
941-625-3888.
I'm not allowed to give the number because I accidentally give Robert's cell phone number half the time. So I always have to make you do it. So if you give your cell phone number by accident, then that's on you, not on me.
Right.
But yeah, if you've got reports for South Gulf Cove or other areas, even if there are areas that we do have reports for, having more reports is always a good thing. So, yeah, call Robert at the shop, 941-625-3888, and fill him in. Let him know. Give him the info. Because if you give me the info, the problem is that I'm probably going to lose it. I am not a good keeper of that style of information. Robert, on the other hand, he has a mind like a steel trap. You put that stuff in there, and he just holds on to it. And there it is, ready and waiting for when he does the next fishing report. And then he forgets it. The problem is that I tend to forget it immediately.
Right.
So.
I get that. But there's even reports that I forget regularly.
Of course there are. But you're probably going to do a better job at it than I am. You've trained your brain better for this job.
Well, it's part of my job.
That's what I'm saying. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Yes.
I'm trying to compliment you.
Well, thank you.
Shut up and take it.
Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir.
The West Wall.
A lot of little snook and some decent-sized redfish. A lot of, like, slot-sized redfish. Most of them are being caught on shrimp. A couple of guys caught them on white bait. One guy caught two of them on topwaters. Redfish. And they're fishing the mouths of those creeks over there and then just blind casting the bushes. But all of them are right up against the bushes. Another guy saw several cobia cruising the bar and they were all small. And saw a couple of bonnethead sharks. What else did he see while he was cruising along there?
Were the bonnethead sharks small also?
Yeah. He said they looked like they were about 2 foot long.
Okay.
But he saw like six or eight of them.
Because see, if I say small cobia and bonnet heads cruising the bar, then you could interpret that as both of them were small. But if I say bonnet heads and small cobia, then it would sound like the bonnet heads are like normal size and then the cobia are small.
Yeah.
So the wording is determined by how big the fish were. Because I'm not going to say small cobia and small bonnet heads cruising the bar, because that takes too long. And we don't have that kind of time when we're doing these reports.
True.
Although we do take the time to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Why nobody weird wants banter. To listen to us.
Yeah, exactly.
What else do you have out here?
I can't remember what wall. Else he saw over there, because he was telling me he saw a couple other fish, but I don't remember now.
So okay.
That's one of those ones that's done.
Out.
Yep.
Should that's we move to the next spot then?
Probably a good
okay,
idea.
Okay, then let's do that. That would be the Cape Hayes Bar.
Cape Hayes Bar on the Boca Grande side of the bar. Some bigger ladyfish.
The west side of the bar.
Spanish mackerel. A handful of trout, mostly small. Let's see. They got a couple of black nose and sharp nose. And I think that's it.
Okay.
Nobody's really fishing on top of the bar. They're kind of fishing that edge where it drops off. And seem to be a little bit more successful.
Okay. That brings us to Turtle and Bull Bays.
I remember what the guy saw over there.
What?
He saw four horseshoe crabs alive crawling.
He saw four horseshoe crabs on the west wall.
Yeah. Well, he was excited about it because he hasn't seen a live horseshoe crab in several years.
No, I'm adding that in because I'm excited too.
He said two were actually mating, and then the other two were just separate animals crawling along in different spots.
Okay. Go back to your song and dance routine because I'm going to see about that reporting horseshoe
do,
crabs.
Do, do, do.
Manamana.
Do, 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 do. Can't keep a straight face and keep doing it, can you?
Trying.
I can picture Beaker doing that.
Because they want to know, they want to know about your horseshoe crabs.
They do.
So, trying to find the thing here with the stuff where it was report to horseshoe crabs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize horseshoe crabs. I mean, it doesn't seem like anything special, but you're talking about an animal that hasn't changed in 20,000 or 40,000 years?
No, millions.
Oh, millions?
Millions of years.
Okay.
Not thousands, millions.
Okay. So for millions of years, it stayed the same. And the pharmaceutical companies actually harvest them for their blood. For it has something to do with our blood medicines, isn't it?
So I don't remember exactly what they use it for, but they are working very hard to come up with
synthetic
artificial version, which
right.
would be great.
Yes, because they are destroying them at an alarming rate, along with environmental situations that are causing issues too. But yeah, it has something to do with, if I'm not mistaken, it has something to do with like blood thinners or something like that.
Maybe it's detecting infectious agents in the
bloodstream.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I ain't no doctor.
Either way, it's still a pharmaceutical thing and kind of a trip, you know. And then there's actually a couple guys that farm them and draw blood out of them to sell off and put the animals back, but half the time the animal still doesn't make it because they take way too much. Even the pharmaceutical companies have tried doing catch and draw and release, and it's a pretty significant fatality rate because
yes, it's terrifying.
You can't live with only 50% of your blood.
Okay, so the link is now
not
present
a predator
there
eating you.
To report the horseshoe crab sightings.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
We're being useful.
I like it.
We're helping science, Robert.
I like it.
We were at Turtle and Bull Bays, though.
Turtle and Bull Bays.
Yes.
Lots and lots. Not lots and lots. Let's go lots.
Bunches of?
Bunches of.
Bunches. Because I haven't used bunches, I don't think. We've done lots. We've done lots and lots, but this is bunches.
Of redfish and a bunch of little snook. The trout have thinned out in there, but there are still some trout in there.
Okay.
What else we got going on in there? There's been a handful of shark sightings, but nobody hooking any.
Big sharks, little sharks?
One guy said he saw one that he guessed was about 6 foot long, but the other ones have all been smallish.
It's a decent shark.
Yeah.
Not a giant shark, but it's a good shark.
Yeah. Try to think what else they saw out there or caught out there. Oh, a guy did catch two baby black drum.
Okay.
And a really baby sheep's head, like 6-7 inches.
That's not a baby. I mean, it's little, but okay. No baby.
A very undersized sheep's head.
So I just ordered some Tanago hooks. They come on, they're pre-tied onto the leader because there's no way you're going to tie these things.
Mm-mm.
They are, I think, number 28s. So we'll go see how small of a sheep's head we can catch. We're going for thumbnail size. That's what we're looking for. A thumbnail size sheep's head.
That's pretty tiny.
Think about how much fun that would be.
Right?
I'm not even sure if there are any of that size out. But I'm not even sure if you'd recognize it. I don't think it has stripes at that size.
No?
I don't think it does. At least that'll be not like sheep's head stripes. All right. Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Spanish mackerel.
Danger Reef. I feel the danger is a little overblown here.
Well, it used to be a pretty dangerous reef. Not so much anymore.
Not so much danger and not so much reef.
Nope. But being Spanish mackerel around it, a couple of small sharks, black nose and sharp nose. And one guy did get a few spade fish off of the Danger Reef marker.
Okay.
Or the remnants of it. Well, he made it sound like it wasn't there, so I don't know if it's still there or not. I haven't looked.
It's been a while since I've actually driven
right
there specifically. So
yeah.
Been in the area, just haven't looked.
Well, you'll have to do that on your next. That'll be your next objective when you go out. Double check all that.
I don't know if it's going to be my next objective. I may do that if I think of it.
But if you're in that vicinity.
But I may not think of it. You know how this goes.
Did they call him and tell him it was in?
Can we just carry on with this?
Yes.
He's handling that. It'll be fine. Gasparilla Sound.
Gasparilla Sound. We got Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and bluefish. One that was about 30 inches.
A bluefish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then a couple of the ladyfish were pretty big, like 20, 24 inches. 19506. And then what else? The redfish and small snook up against the bushes. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other assorted sharks. One guy did see what he thinks was a lemon, but not sure if it was a nurse cruising over there on the flats there by the sand fly.
What do you think?
I would guess a lemon this time of year.
I would say probably 8-1 lemon versus nurse.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Yeah, that was my guess too.
Put it this way, I would be about 8 times more excited to see a nurse shark over there than a lemon shark.
So would I. So would I.
Because that would give me a chance to test the new GoPros.
Yes.
I got a 10-foot selfie stick.
Ooh.
Which I have no intention of using as a selfie stick. But I'm going to see if it'll stick down into the water. Take pictures of fish underneath the water.
There you go.
Hmm?
That should be fun. That'll be interesting.
We'll see. It may turn out to be a big fat nothing.
I just think it's interesting how many people have fallen off of cliffs and bridges because of selfies.
The 10-foot selfie stick.
Yeah.
Because you're leaning back too far to try to see yourself, and oop, there you went.
Yep.
You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else to add into Gasparilla Sound?
Nope.
Okay. Then we will move on to Placida, the Placida Pier, the Placida Trestle, the Coral Creek Pier near Placida, and Gasparilla Pass in the Placida area.
Spanish mackerel. Been a few tarpon.
And you said it was 19605.
Tarpon in the pass?
And the bridge right there. And then there's been quite a few short snook and some bigger snook being seen. And some good mangrove snapper. Not like setting the world on fire, but not bad.
Okay. Those snapper, are they willing to eat shrimp, or do we have to have little bait fish for them?
They're catching them on both the shrimp and the white bait.
Okay. Does it have to be live?
It does not.
So are you saying that if I get a bag of frozen pilchards out of the freezer here?
Yeah. I would not be scared to use them.
Okay. Just asking the simple question.
But I would also use the silver sides.
Yeah. Silver sides. Good choice. Lemon Bay.
I got nothing over there.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Well, even looking at Bill Bennett's reports, did you get any for over there that you read?
No.
I went through them and they were all Gasparilla.
Well, they
or
don't
went offshore.
He didn't send me those anyway.
No?
No. So we're going to look at this and we're going to go ahead and copy-paste last week's report, which says that there should be snook since they like Stump Pass and there should be some trout around the grass.
Should be.
I don't see any reason why that should have changed.
No. I don't see any reason either.
The Anger Pier.
Anger Pier.
Yes.
Spanish mackerel. Couple of ladyfish. Couple of short snook. And that's it.
Okay.
The guy did see some bigger snook over by the bridge. Couldn't get him to chew. He saw one big snook swim under the pier. But he said he could only get those couple smaller snook to hit. I said, yep, that's because the little ones are dumb.
Yes. So, would you have...
His goal is to try to catch a 30-plus inch snook just to say he caught one.
Would you have any advice for him about how to get those bigger snook to actually bite?
Throw a dead bait on the bottom and just sit and wait.
Don't try to force the one that you're seeing to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one is also seeing you, and he's probably not doing anything.
Yep.
But there's more around.
Especially with all the clear water. Did John call him?
Okay.
I don't think he did, but the number's from April.
Then it would be in that other pile, probably, maybe. Well, no, it should be in here.
It's a new number, though.
You know, sometimes being here at the world headquarters of Fish and Franks, we do get mildly interrupted by people coming back and doing things like looking at the rod repair bin because it's literally right next to the, I hesitate to call this the audio booth because it's really just a desk, but, you know, people show up and they look at stuff and they ask questions and then Robert has to help because that's just his nature.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
You ready to move on?
So the note on here says,
the Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling, reefs and wrecks. This should be good. Can't wait.
What is it? I couldn't hear because...
This is the Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling.
Oh, let's see. 45 to 70 miles out.
Uh-huh.
He should have called you. Your phone number was on there.
They're getting the red snapper.
Red snapper?
Red grouper.
Red grouper.
You could call him and ask him if he wanted to do it with the
We'll
other,
just hold on.
Yeah. I don't understand how it can be that he's louder when we have the microphones in our faces.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be done far sooner than he is.
Come in and pick the rod up here, or you know, whatever you decide to do with it.
I would have paused it if I didn't know he was going to take this long. But what's going to happen now is if I pause it, he'll be done in 5 seconds.
Right.
So, there he goes.
Of course. Wow.
Okay.
It's funny how that works.
Red snapper and red grouper and what else?
A few African pompano. Some beeliners.
Which are neither African nor pompano.
Right. Some beeliners.
A.K.A. vermilion snapper.
Lots of lane snapper. Some mangrove snapper. Jeez, I heard of so many damn different fish this last several days. It's hard to keep up with it. One scamp, one black grouper, both undersized.
I am not putting that.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. So how far out was this?
45 to 70. Most everyone that did good on the bigger red snapper were a minimum of 150 feet of water. The best reports came from 165 feet of water.
Okay.
I mean, 40 is basically the shortest distance if you want small red snapper.
Yeah. But Robert, my boat won't go out that far. Okay, well then you're not going red snapper fishing.
Yeah, fish for something else. It's not that special of a fish.
And if you think that you do want to go red snapper fishing in a boat that's not really set to go red snapper fishing or on a day when the weather may not be the best, then, you know, you got a great example from opening day of red snapper season when a boat carrying 8 people, 28-foot vessel, went out on very questionable weather conditions. Mm. And about 30, 35 miles offshore, capsized.
Yeah.
So fortunately, they had an EPIRB. They had personal locator beacons. They had their life jackets on. They had a cooler to hold on to while they waited for the Coast Guard helicopter to come pick them up. Because that's how they got back to shore.
And supposedly that was a charter for hire?
That's what I'm told. I have not been able to ascertain that for sure
yet. Did you actually find the local newspaper report on that one? Or did you find it in the other one that I sent you?
Well, the report that you sent me from Arizona, of all places, was kind of what triggered it, because then I went to go find a local report on it, and the only local report I could find was from one of the TV news stations that had picked up a CNN story. And I said,
really?
Okay, well, there's got to be a report from the Coast Guard. So I found the Coast Guard report, and then I sent that to one of our Sun newspaper reporters who was able to track down the rest of the story. But, of course, they don't talk about the people who were rescued. They'll talk about the rescue, but they're not going to give you, you know, their names or anything like that.
Right.
So, yeah, so finding that actual information has been challenging. So
gotcha.
I await confirmation, but we'll see. But at this point, it does appear that they were going red snapper fishing, trying to be out there as early as they possibly could on opening day. And
nice.
They just kind of said, damn the weather, we're going. And that's the result. So, yeah, you can sometimes do iffy things and get away with it, and sometimes you don't get away with it. You
right.
know, it's like poking a bear with a stick.
Yeah.
Sometimes the bear just looks at you, and sometimes the bear just kind of swats the stick away, and then sometimes the bear stands up, turns around, smashes you flat to the ground, and stomps you to death. So, you know, do you really want to poke that bear?
Right.
Think real hard about it.
Right.
So they poked the bear, and they got swatted.
Kind of funny how that works, isn't it?
Anyway, all we're saying is no fish is worth your... Well, listen, no fish is worth my life. Nope. You make the decision about whether a fish is worth your life.
Yeah.
you're a grown adult. you're an American, and you're of age. Make your decisions.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have anything else to add
to the
Gulf of Mexico report?
No.
Does that mean we can move on?
Yes.
Good. It's about freaking time. The Venice jetties and the Venice pier.
A lot of Spanish mackerel up there on both the pier and the jetties. And at the jetties, they've also been getting some snook, a few whiting. One guy did catch a pompano. And one bluefish. Another big bluefish. That one was... it wasn't 30, but it was like 27 or 28 inches, something like that. One guy said he did catch one off... Well, we'll get to that spot in a minute.
This is a place-by-place report, right? Yeah, you know how that works, right?
It just popped into my brain, though, at the same time, because it was a surprising story.
I understand. We'll get there. Anything else to add to the jetties and pier report?
Nope.
Okay. Then we will move on to, well, Ponderosa is where we end up.
I got nothing down there.
No reportos. Okay, that's fine. Redfish Pass.
Nothing.
Nothing or no reports?
No reports.
Okay. The Captiva Pass.
A few tarpon, a few Spanish mackerel, a couple of small sharks, and a few snook right there along the Cayo Costa shoreline.
That would be the north side of the pass, for those of you who don't know the names of the islands.
Right. There you go. And I don't think I got anything else there.
Okay. Now, we had some hobberdobbers last week. Were there any hobberdobbers?
Not that I heard of.
Okay, no hobberdobbers. All right. I have to do without any hobberdobbers. That brings us to the big one, Boca Grand Pass.
Basically, it's tarpon, and more tarpon, and some stark raving lunatics with and without titles.
Okay.
There's also been some mangrove snapper in there, but there's so many tarpon fishermen around, I would not suggest going in there and trying to do that. Even though you're fishing a little bit shallower water, it's sure enough you're going to start to drift, and that's when the tarpon will roll around you and every boat will come over to you and just... Yeah, not fun.
Okay.
This would not do it.
All right. Use the word lunatics twice in that one.
Yeah?
Yep. That brings us to the Gulf Beaches.
All right.
On foot, walking around.
Well, right there at Boca off the rocks, they're getting snook, a couple of redfish, some Spanish mackerel, and the one guy and his girlfriend who's pretty much brand new to fishing. He got like a 30, 31 inch bluefish off the rocks. But the surprising part was, and it didn't surprise me, but it kind of surprised me, is that he said it really didn't put up much of a fight. And I'm guessing because it is a colder water species, it's just starting to get too warm.
Right. They're melting.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because I said, usually they're like a Jack Crevel. I said, they're usually an impressive fight. He's like, no, I didn't really fight that much and just reeled it in, kind of sat it in the water and just slowly swam away.
Hmm.
Like, okay, well, normally they're good at usually screaming. So you caught a very, very large bluefish, but you got shortchanged on the fight.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody else already caught it.
That's possible, too.
Wore it out. If they get that weak, then I would think that they'd be real easy prey for the sharks.
I would think so.
I would think they'd be gone very, very soon.
He probably didn't make it after that. Who knows?
No, I imagine not. But if it was just the warm water doing that, then I would think we probably wouldn't be seeing too many blues. Because there's a lot of sharks out there. They'd probably get ate pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was the last of the fastest swimmers.
Maybe.
Possible.
All right. I know there's some other beaches that you're going to tell me about here in just a second.
Yeah.
So.
Middle Beach. They're getting quite a few snook. A few trout.
That's blind pass,
yep.
According to the sign.
Yeah. A few trout. Some whiting. Very short pompano. A couple of very tiny flounder. And then seeing some tarpon cruising along the shoreline there. And then Stump Pass is virtually a mirror image of that, with the exception of they're catching a few mangrove snapper down there, too.
Okay.
I'm going to take a ride back out there again. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Too many boats down there now.
I know. That's why it's just not worth really going out there anymore, personally. It sucks.
Any other beaches here? Anywhere between Sanibel and Venice?
Nope.
Nothing else going on?
Not that I've gotten reports on.
Listen, not that he's got reports on, but this stuff is happening at all these beaches up down here. Don't think, oh, well, shoot, you know, we like to go out to Sanibel and Shell, but sounds like the fishing is better up there at Boca Grande. No, it's not. This stuff is all over the place. So take yourself out to Sanibel, let her shell while you fish, or vice versa, however you guys work it. But, this is happening all up and down the coast.
Yep. A normal thing for the rest of the next 2 months.
Matt Lacka, as my grandmother used to say, a.k.a. Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, places like that.
No reports from down there.
No reports. Fine, then. Fine. Pine Island Sound.
I've got only one report from down there.
What?
Yeah. They caught some trout. They caught a couple Spanish mackerel, a few small snook, and one redfish. That was just one person. I mean, there should be a lot more snook going on down there and some redfish, but there's still too many people chasing the tarpon.
Yes. Far too many. Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Some small trout and some Spanish mackerel. Oh, and a guy did hook one. It looked like a sennet. Might have been a small barracuda, but it looked like a sennet.
Okay.
So, that was kind of cool. He caught that while he was just drifting along the edge of the bar looking for the trout. About 15 inches long.
I will bet you $7.48 that it was a small barracuda.
Yeah?
Yeah. The sennet are not nearly as common as people seem to think they are. And a lot of people seem to think that any small barracuda-like fish out there is a sennet.
No, most people don't know what the heck they are.
Yeah, but once they hear it, as soon as they hear about that, then they automatically, for some reason, glom onto those being sennet. And sennet just really... I've seen maybe one sennet caught on hook and line inside the harbor. And when we were having red tides a few years ago, I saw some dead sennet on the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And once you actually see a sennet and you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, well, I can see that it's kind of barracuda-ish, but it doesn't really look that much like a barracuda. The mouth is different, the tail is different, even the body shape is different. So.
Okay.
And it just there just aren't that many here inside the harbor. It's more common out in the Gulf.
Okay.
So, $7.48.
All right.
Remember that and have him send you the photo.
Okay.
Do you have the photo?
No.
Or did he just show it to you?
Yeah, they just show it to me. I don't think people don't get my phone number.
Okay. We'll take a photo of their photo next
that
time.
That I've done.
Burnt Store and Two Pines.
Some redfish and snook up against the shoreline. Then a couple of ladyfish. And some trout on top of the bar. One guy did have a pretty good-sized cobia hooked on down there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
It went under the boat twice, and then on the third run when it came back around, it went past his trolling motor and it broke him off.
That sucks.
But he figured it was... He was 98% sure that it was over 40 inches.
Gotcha. So a 32-inch cobia.
Yeah, probably. But it was cool to hear his excitement describing the fight and...
And listen,
run under the boat, run away from the boat.
You or I might easily make the same mistake because you get excited about those fish and they're in the water and they always look a little bit bigger than they are, especially when they're dark colored like that. And it's, you know, and then you get the thing and you're like, you're so sure this is going to be a good keeper fish, and you measure it and it's like, you got to be kidding me. How is it 31 inches to the fork? There's no way. This fish is at least 35 pounds.
Right.
No, it's just not.
Well, and then my first initial reaction is like, all right, that's a good run. Maybe it's a cobia. Oh, no, it's a shark. Mm. Oh, yes, it is a cobia. You know, it's like, wow. You always get that first initial like kind of excitement.
Yep. And it's one of those fish that we just don't see enough of down here. At least the 99% of us don't see enough of them down here in order to make those, you know, it's definitely this when you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope, anyway.
That is true.
The East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor. Yeah, that good?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
Terrible.
I am going to put here, Robert made a P-B-B-B-B-T sound when I asked about this spot. Yep.
It's been tough over there.
Okay. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the Skating Rink.
Yeah, no reports.
No reports. Ponce de Leon Park.
Some bigger mangrove snapper.
Yeah.
A couple of snook.
Uh-huh. Big black drum cruising through?
They saw them. One. And then a bunch of jacks came through. They caught one jack, and it was about 8 pounds, 10 pounds, somewhere in there. It was a good-sized jack. That's about it, but the mangrove snapper and the snook is the only things I heard about. And the snook were only a couple guys that caught them. But they're getting mangrove snapper up to like 13 inches there.
Okay. The PGI canals and any other Punta Gorda areas that we missed?
A lot of mangrove snapper. Two sheep's head. No black drum that I've heard of, people seeing them but not catching them. A handful of juvenile tarpon, and a couple of them have been cooperating. I've had like probably about 3 different people tell me that they've hooked into a couple of them or landed a couple of them.
Okay. What you going to use for that?
Yes. Whatever. One guy hooked his on a paddle tail, another guy hooked one trolling, and a couple guys went in there with white bait. So it's just all over the map.
All right.
But they aren't replicating it 2 or 3 days in a row, that's for sure.
Snook?
A lot of little snook. You're catching those all trolling? Couple guys catching them throwing underneath the pier or underneath the docks, but most of the guys are catching the smaller guys just trolling along.
Okay. Using that flying lure?
Yeah, exactly.
Pitch it up underneath there. Watch it fly back.
Yeah. Watch it come flying back at them.
Yeah. The Gilchrist Pier.
Two bull sharks. And a couple of small trout. John was out there this morning and hooked a couple trout. He said the bite lasted about 15 or 20 minutes and then it was over. Or was that yesterday?
Either way.
I don't know. Either way. But getting a few trout over there.
Okay. The Alligator Creek Reef.
Nothing.
I was afraid of that. The 20-foot holes.
Some Spanish mackerel, a few sharks. And a couple of very misplaced tarpon. But that's very common this time of year. There's just not numbers. If you're on your way out, look for them. But I wouldn't be devoting a lot of time looking for them.
And probably a few sail cats out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of them.
Sail kitties. The baitfish report, Robert.
There's some at Marker 2. Most of the better stuff is down in Jug Creek. Devilfish. Along the intercoastal and the beaches. Hardly any bait up here. Most of it's thread fins. Guy was arguing with me yesterday, telling me that they're all big white bait, that he's catching like 5 inchers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, well, I took a video of it because I filled up my live well. I said, did they stay alive or did they die? He said, oh, about 60% of them stayed alive. I said, they're threadies. He's like, no, they're white bait. He says, I can't keep threadies alive. He's like, showed me his video. I'm like, those are thread fins. I said, look at all the scales floating around in there, number one. Number two, watch. You'll see a couple of them where that thread, where I could actually see it because he was holding the camera like right up against it. Like, I can see a thread on a couple of those on their dorsal fin. I can't see them real well enough to just blatantly tell you that they're white bait, but no. He's like, white bait dies faster. I said, well, you just happen to get lucky. You caught him right there. He caught him right there by sandfly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they look like threadies.
Yeah, and there's been lots of threads all over the place, really.
Yeah. Yep.
The freshwater report, Robert.
Terrible. Literally terrible. Live shiners for the bass. There have been a few tilapia and Mayan cichlids being caught, but it's just too hot. We need some rain to kind of fire that back up.
Okay. The tarpon reports.
Okay.
I've got the map up and ready to go.
Okay.
Actually planned ahead this time. We've got the red dots, your best shot at a hookup. Where am I putting the red dots, Robert?
Boca Grande.
Boca Grande inside the pass.
Yep.
Okay. Can I put one up on the hill, one on the pan too?
Yep.
Okay. Hill, pan. All right, where else?
Along the beaches.
Along the beaches. Which beaches and how far out?
Mostly to the north.
To the north. How far out?
Above Stump Pass, all the way up to, like, honestly, up to Sharkies.
All right. A mile off? 3 miles off?
Anywhere from half a mile to, I don't know.
Okay. A half a mile to, you don't know. Just got to make a series of dots here. Cruising all the way on up to, that's Venice Inlet. All right. Any place else I can put a red dot?
Nope.
Okay. The yellow dots, your 50-50 shot.
Boca South along the beach.
Boca South along the beach. How far south?
Santa Bell.
All the way down to the Bell.
Then go around Santa Bell and come up the intercoastal too, the same thing.
Come up the ICW, go underneath the bridge, right up here through Pine Island Sound.
To Gasparilla.
All the way back up to Gasparilla.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Da-doom, ba-doom, 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 boom, boom, boom. And I'll put one in Gasparilla Pass, too.
Yep.
Ba-doom. Okay, any place else for a yellow dot?
Nope.
Man, this is a lot of dots. The white dots, the less than 50% chance of a hookup, where can I put a white dot?
Any of the holes and the mouths of the canals on Punta Gorda.
Mouths of the Punta Gorda canals. Okay, ba-doom, and ba-doom. And the 20-foot holes, ba-doomp, and ba-doomp, and ba-doomp approximately. Okay?
That's pretty much it.
That's it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only places? I mean, to be fair, that's a lot of dots.
It is.
So we did put many dots this time. More dots than we have been putting, which is going to make somebody happy.
Right. And you got the hill tide going on tonight. The minor hill tide.
The minor as in the new moon hill tide as opposed to the major full moon hill tide?
Yep.
And what do you think about that minor hill tide?
I think sometimes it can be actually as good or better than the full moon hill tide.
It gets less attention.
It gets a lot less attention. You know, and it's just, but it's still weird the way it just doesn't, you know, like you said, it just doesn't get enough attention. And it's way underrated because there are, I mean, there, well, Carl, day before yesterday, or, I don't know, in the last couple days, he did like 11 fish in the air and I think like 6 to the boat or something. It's been some pretty good evening, afternoon bites.
Now, what are we eating here? Is this still crabs?
Oh, it's all crab, except for that 3 o'clock in the morning bite.
Okay. And that's out off the beach too?
Yeah.
Still crabs?
No, the crabs out on the beach are working good, but thread fins are also working. There's not a ton of fish right there on the beach right now with this moon phase, but they've been moving out there throughout the daytime. And then moving back into the pass in the middle afternoon.
Okay.
But from 3 o'clock in the morning until about 7:30, they're cooperating. And then they're breaking apart, moving out onto the beaches until 1, 2 o'clock, and then heading back towards the passes. Or just flat out going offshore.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this report, sir?
Not that I can think of, sir.
Are you sure? Because it's only 54 minutes long. Of course, 3 minutes of that is Jeff interrupting.
Right.
With his...
babble, babble, babble.
Interrupting cow routine. So...
Yeah. No. I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, then I guess say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.